let's begin. We're up to Perek Vav, beginning of Perek Vav, a new sugya in Sefer Daniel. This Perek deals with Daniel being thrown into the lion's den by Daryovish. Who is Daryovish? Daryovish is the king of Moda. He is the new king. Yesterday we concluded beginning of Perek Vav. Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph. So we concluded yesterday with the end, the conclusion of the Malchus of Bavel. The end of the third king. The third king was Belshazzar. There were a total of three kings in the Golus of Bavel. The Malchus of Bavel lasted for 70 years. The time that Nebuchadnezzar came to power until his grandson came to an end, it was exactly 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar, Evel Merodach, and Belshazzar. And yes, then we had the very end of Belshazzar in his first year of his Malchus. There was handwriting on the wall, and at that night Daniel interpreted the handwriting, and at that evening one of his servants, the Kastoi, murdered Belshazzar. It brought his head to Daryovish Hamodai, and that's who the person that we're dealing with here begins. And he brought the head to Daryovish Hamodai, and Daryovish Hamodai immediately took the opportunity to conquer the Malchus of Bavel. And immediately there was a transition. Daryovish was the king of the lower world, this world. Now what happens? Vidaryovesh Pasuk Aleph, Vidaryovesh Modo'o, Kabel Malchuso Kvar, he was Mekabel, he received the Malchus, Kvar Shinin Shitin Visartein. He was already 62 years old when he became the Melech over the entire world. Now today, that's very young. Today, a person hasn't even gotten started until he's at least 80 years old. But in those days, when he was 62 years old, was way, way past retirement, way too old to be a king, certainly to be a king, because those days, who were kings? Warriors. In order to be a king, you had to be a warrior. And to be a warrior, you had to be in your 20s. You're not already 30 years old. You're already not in your prime. You know, baseball players, once they get already 30 years old, already that's it. We're talking retirement. We're not talking over here. 35 years old, the baseball player is not exactly not a spring chicken. It's not exactly people are not going to invest in him millions of dollars. But and that was the same thing when it came to Malchus in the world scene. One had to be a Gibor, so he was already 62 years old, yet he succeeded in becoming the king. Now, it says here, Kikabel, there's much discussion in this expression that he accepted. It almost sounds like he didn't want to be king. It was thrown upon him. Can you imagine today in the elections, two candidates, each one, Obama says to Romney, you be the president. And Romney says to Obama, no, you take it. It's absurd, right? such a statement is absurd. But it says here, Kabel Malchusa seemingly means that he accepted, they forced it upon him. So the Medrash and the commentators explain that Daryovish had a son-in-law, Koresh. And Koresh was the king of Paras, Persia. At this point in time, there were two major countries, Modai and Paras. And the king of Modai was Daryovish. By the way, his name was Daryovish ben Achashverosh. Not this Achashverosh is not to be confused with the Achashverosh of the Purim story. That is an Achashverosh from Persia. Daryovish ben Achashverosh. Much later on. Much later on. This is Daryovish ben Achashverosh is a Persian. He was a Parsi, a Persian. Here we're dealing with from Modai, the nation of Modai. These names, also the name Achashverosh is not so clear if this was his real name. There are different conflicting sources for this, and not everything is exactly known. The records of who is who, it's not clear. Maybe we'll discuss that another time. I'm not clear myself. I need to do more preparation. inspiration for that. But this is this Daryavesh. His name was Daryavesh ben Achashverosh. But again, this is not the Daryavesh ben Achashverosh of the Purim. That's much later on. Not much later on, but it's later down the road. These names are very popular names for whatever reason. Achashverosh and Daryavesh, and they appear here and there. Now, so what does mean Kabel says? Going back to what we said before, there were two nations, Modai and Paras. Modai was ruled by Daryavesh. Paras was ruled by Koresh. Koresh was the son-in-law of Modai. Immediately at this point in time, when they conquered, when Belshazzar was killed, and his head was presented to these two people, Daryavesh and Koresh, Daryavesh wanted immediately his son-in-law Koresh to take the throne. Should there was an alliance, father-in-law and son-in-law, the two nations were pretty much merged in one alliance, but he wanted his son-in-law to be the king over the entire world, the entire civilized world at this point in time. Koresh did not want, because he felt, because they had full faith in Daniel, and Daniel, when he explained the handwriting on the wall, it said Minah Minah Tekel Ufarsin, and Tekel referred to Modai, and they understood that the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be fulfilled, we have to follow the instructions. Modai comes first and then comes Paras. This was part of the explanation of Daniel, Modai Uparas, and therefore even though Koresh was better suited, was more prepared and more of a leader to take the throne, being that they had full faith in Daniel and wanted to follow his instructions, and Daniel, when his instructions was always Modai Uparas, therefore Koresh convinced his father-in-law Daryavesh that you should be the king first. Modai comes first and then comes Paras. That's why it says Kabel. He accepted Malchusa, he accepted after the convincing of his son-in-law Koresh to be the king first. First Modai, and later it will go over to his son-in-law Paras. He was already Kvar Shnin Shitin Vitzartin. He was 62 years old. Rashi tells us something very important. When was he born? This was exactly 62 years since Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoyachin. 11 years before the Churban. 11 years before the Churban, Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoyachin. He took with him the Choresh v'Hamasker, all of the Talmud people, in order to stop any rebellion in Eretz Yisrael. Anyone that was talented, any craftsman, was take those who were able to make weapons and be a source of trouble for Nebuchadnezzar, were exiled 11 years before the Churban to Babel. So at that moment in time, when Nebuchadnezzar began the process of Golus by taking with him the best of Eretz Yisrael to Golus, on that day, Daryavesh was born. Who was Daryavesh? Daryavesh would be the one that would take away the Malchus from Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar. Would be the one, he's the Sitna, he is the adversary. He is the one that would remove the Malchus from Babel. Babel here is, Nebuchadnezzar is committing a terrible sin. He is starting up with the Jewish people. He's beginning a process of Golus. You want to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the refuah Koidim the Makkah. Now the Golus is beginning. At this moment in time, Hashem is going to start the process of Geula for Klal Yisrael. What's the Geula? Daryavesh, together with Koresh, and Koresh will issue the proclamation that the Jewish people have a right to return to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. So here is another example in world history where Kadosh Baruch Hu is creating the refuah Koidim the Makkah. Nebuchadnezzar is now beginning the process of Golus. On that very day, Hashem is bringing into the world the person that will start the process for Klal Yisrael to ultimately return to Eretz Yisrael. The Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar and Babel will come to an end. and Klal Yisrael will be restored. They will be permitted to come back. So he was 62 years old. That's the significance of the number 62. 62 years since the Golus of Yehoyachin and the Chorsha HaMaskeh. Pasuk base. Shefar Kodom Dor Yovesh. It was pleasing. It was beautiful before Dor Yovesh. V'hakeim ha-malchusa la'achashtar pinayo me'ovi esrin di lehavon b'chol malchusa. So Deis was first to explain the gist of the pasuk. He was advised, according to the Medrash, Doniel advised Dor Yovesh to appoint 120 officials over his government, senators or leaders or governors or mayors over the various parts of his malchus that should report to the king Dariovish. Now, why was this done? So there are many different interpretations and explanations. Number one, he was weak. He was 62 years old. It appears that he was not in the best of health. Okay, someone's 62 years old. Some people are very Baruch Hashem. Modern times, it's a youngster. But in those times, it could be due to the difficulties of life and due to the various wars that he was involved with. He was not in the best of health. He was not fully capable of ruling the world and that this age. So Doniel told him, if you want to have a firm hold in your malchus, have assistance. You need some help. And this was to us today. This is like aleph bays. Today, every governor and mayor has at least 50 commissioners. Right? When you see the press conferences of what's doing in the floods, so behind everyone who gives a drasha, you see in the background 50 people, all their commissioners and their assistants and superintendents and so on and so forth. But this was a foreign concept in ancient times. In ancient times, you don't have assistants. You do everything yourself. You run the country yourself because every assistant is a threat. Every person, today we have a different the whole understanding of leadership. It's a democracy. Everyone is elected. But in those days, you conquered, you ruled with an iron fist. And there were always rebellions, there were always threats. You don't have assistance.
That's in America. I'm not sure it's like that.
Other parts of the world. That's right. I'm sorry. Other parts of the world. Everyone was a threat. So you did not have assistance. So this was a chiddush that a dictator would have people underneath him, different governors, ruling different provinces, cities, large areas, who would in turn report to the king himself. It was a new thing. And who gave this advice? Doniel to Dariovish. And the bigger chiddush was shefar. Shefar means it was beautiful. It was acceptable. It was a good idea. He liked it. He's going to try a new form of leadership. You want to say something?
Yeah, but all these provinces in that time had to pay taxes to the king.
Okay.
So he appointed these people
to collect the taxes.
Collect taxes and make sure he gets his money.
But once a governor was popular in his region, he can rebel. I'll form my own malchus. In ancient times, a king wasn't someone that had a million people underneath him. A king was, he had 30 people. You were a king. You had a little city with a little wall around it. Even the time of the Crusades. These little city-states. You're independent. You have a wall. You have an army. You have some type of economy. You're independent. And you rule with an iron fist. So once you have a governor in a certain region, he can very easily rebel. Here, there was some time, Shafar was pleasing Kadam Dor Yovesh through the advice of Doniel. Doniel immediately was accepted by Dor Yovesh and Koresh as a genius, as an advisor. He was the one that he was well known, that he was the one that interpreted the handwriting on the wall. And it was only because of Doniel's interpretation of the handwriting on the wall that this servant killed Balshetzar and the Malchus was transferred to Dariovish and Koresh, and therefore they had great respect for him, and he was immediately appointed as one of the top advisors to the new Malchus, the new kingdom in the world of Dariovish. Yeah?
This idea is derived from Yisro.
Yisro told Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, but that was not a rule of authority, that was just a rule of judges.
Okay, but...
Okay, there's a parallel between what Yisro... Okay, I hear what you're saying. There, Yisro advised the judges to
do it all yourself.
But here it's actual authority. Here it's actual authority. Yeah.
How did that Kasti kill?
He just took out a sword and chopped off his head.
But one was Belshazzar. You know,
what?
He had two swords.
It's like today the Secret Service. A Secret Service has weapons. The president doesn't carry weapons. The Secret Service are the most trusted people because they're the most dangerous people.
Belshazzar was not stupid.
He was fooled. It was an inside job. He had. Yeah, it was. This was a person that was trusted. He was a Kasti. He was there already, an old timer. He was back from the time of Nebuchadnezzar. He was there for 60, 70 years. He was a well trusted servant, and he rebelled. He rebelled and he killed Belshazzar. Okay, so it was Shafar Kadam Daryavish Vahakim al Malchus. Therefore, he established upon his Malchus Le'ach. This is a very fancy word for a governor. A governor or some type of leader, I don't know exactly what it means. It means it's a word which refers to a very high official in government. 120. There were 120 different cities, different regions, different localities. That should be over his entire malchus. The Gemara says that the Gemara discusses different, I don't remember the exact names, the different people who rule the entire world. Molach ala kippa. Kippa means the dome. The world is a dome. I guess they acknowledged in ancient times the world was round to some degree. Maybe it was a cone. You come to a certain point, you fall off. But at least they were able to detect it was the curvature of the world to some degree. And Molach al kippa. And the Gemara asked the question, why isn't Daryavesh listed among the people who ruled the entire civilized world? And the Gemara says because he was missing seven Medinos. How do we know he was missing seven Medinos? Because not much later on we have the Purim story. And the Purim story we have that he ruled Mehodu Vyad Kush, what's Pasuk? 127 Medinos. And here it says that he said only 120 Medinos. He was missing seven Medinos. Therefore, he did not rule the entire world, and therefore, there were seven Medinos that were not under his authority, and that is what it means over here. Perhaps you can say a Jewish, what? What?
Koresh did.
Right. Koresh went and Koresh did, and that's why Achashverosh comes in later on, and he continued the Malchus of Koresh, and he had the 127. But Daryavesh was missing seven Medinos. This is the Gemara. I think the Jewish Gemara says that Esther lived 127 years, and the Gemara tells of a story. One of the, I think Rabbi Akiva, he was giving a shir, and his Talmidim was sleeping, and he said to the Talmidim, why was Esther, did she merit to rule over, to be the queen, Esther Hamalka, over 127 Medinos? It's because Esther is an Enochel from Sarah Imenu, who lived 127 years. So there's a lot of Jewish, what exactly is the significance? What did Rabbi Akiva mean? How did this wake up the Talmidim? What exactly? There's much discussion, but you do see over here a relationship between Sarah Imenu and the 127 Medinos. Next week's parasha, we'll go into Chaye Sarah, and the Gemara says that Sarah was breaks up the numbers. She was 127, and the Gemara says 100 Rashi, 100 like 20 l'chait, just like someone who's 20 years old is not a bar oinshin. When she was 100 years old, she had not committed a single avera, and just like a 7-year-old is beautiful, so too her beauty at the age 20 was equal to the beauty of a girl who's 7 years old. There's discussion in Chazal, what does that mean exactly? L'chair, we would assume a woman who's 20 years old is more beautiful than a woman that's 7 years old, but let's put that aside. The Gemara says that a girl at 7 has a certain degree of beauty, of innocence, purity, that does not appear at the age of 20 years old. Put that aside. But what do you see? You see over here that the number 7 is used. This number 7 represents yofi, beauty. And if you take that idea further, we discussed the difference between the Malchus of Daryavesh and the Malchus of Paras. Yavda l'kim l'yefes v'yishkoin. That's Yavon, but you do find a a concept of beauty in Malchus. Okay, that really refers to the next level. That goes down to Yavin. But you do find a concept of Yoifi. And when you're missing the seven, what you're missing is the Yoifi, the beauty. So this has to be developed further to understand what exactly is Yoifi. Yoifi does not obviously mean physical beauty, because a woman 20 years old, as we said before, is more beautiful than a girl 7 years old. Yoifi certainly means something very certain, an innocence. And this innocence, this number 7, which is symbolic of innocence, is what is missing in the Malchus of Dar Yavesh. And to review, the Rashi says, Sarah lived 127 years old. 100 like 20, chet. 20 to 7. And the Gemara says, just like a girl 7 years old is in the prime of her yoifi. Whatever that yoifi is. And then the Gemara goes further. Another Gemara. The Gemara compares the 127 Medinos to Sarah. So that means these numbers have meaning. They have symbolic significance. The absence of 7 Medinos in the Malchus of Daryavish relative to the 7 additional Medinos that were given to the Malchus of Paras represents the idea that when Modai ruled, Modai lacked Yoifi. When Paras, Modai and Paras, they ruled together. They alternated, or they were supposed to alternate. Modai lacked Yoifi. Paras had, the Malchus of Paras had Yoifi. Now, what is the difference? Perhaps as we'll go through Ezra and Nehemiah, we'll come to the Malchus of Paras, go a little bit further in history, maybe we'll get a little bit of an idea to understand this contrast between these two kingdoms that existed during this 52-year period. This whole, it's a very short period. It's only 52 years of the Malchus of Paras and Modai until Yavon takes the stage. So, and during this two period of time, there is the beginning of the Haskalah, which is a very short period of time of only 1 year of Modai. Modai only ruled for 1 year. And then comes 51 years of Paras. What's the difference? Modai is 120 Medinos, Paras 127 Medinos. What's the chilik between 121 to 127? Well, we learn from Chumash and from the Gemara a difference of Yoifi. What is Yoifi? So we have to see, we have to keep this in mind and see how this plays out as we come to these two different kingdoms, of what their objective and what their contribution was to the world through the history. Okay, so yeah, over here, so he was fitting before Dayavish, and he appointed upon his Malchus Laachashtar Penaya as advisors and governors and rulers, Meya Me'ovi Eshrin, 120, Dilehevon B'chol Malchus, so that should rule the entire Malchus. Pasuk Gimel.
Excuse me, what is Laachashtar Penaya?
It means a governor, a ruler. Pasuk Gimel. Ve'ela Minhon, and Ela means above. Above the 120 governors, and it's a loose translation, governors, was Sarchin Tilasa. Sarchin is another word for a ruler, but it's a minister, a higher level. The 120 would report to the three. So there were three. What?
Yisrael.
Right, it would be different levels, different layers, different hierarchy of leaders.
This is an organization chart.
Correct. There's a hierarchy, 120 governors, and the 120 governors would report to the top three. The Elah Minhon, above the 120, would be Sarchin. It's a word, it's a term which is similar to the word Liachashtar Penaya, but it means even a higher level of authority, Tolosa 3. Di Daniel Chad Minhon. And Daniel was immediately appointed to be one of these three. Di Lehevo, now why was this system put in place? 120 plus 3 on top. Di Lehevon Achashtar Penaya Elaine, so that these governors, these leaders, Yohavin Lohon Ta'ama, will bring advice, etzos. They will oversee different sections of the kingdom. They will get a feel of what is going on, and they will bring their advice, tema means advice, to the three leading ministers, and the three leading ministers will in turn speak to the king, umalka, all for the purpose, umalka lo lehevei nozik, the melech should not be damaged, that the kingdom should function with perfection, everything should work perfectly, there should not be any rebellion, every member of the country should have what they need, their needs should be provided, taxes should be paid, society should function properly, and there will be no damage to the Malchus, because if the king would rule himself like it was done traditionally, there's one authority who rules with an iron fist, it's not going to go. It's the world is too big. The world, you have to probably assume that the population was, we don't know, and I'm sure there are studies, there's history, and I don't know how accurate everything is. What was the world population? Today, what is they say today? Between 4 and 5 billion people. It's not possible to know exactly how many people are living on this earth. With all the technology we have today, there's no way we can get an exact number, even close, even within the range of millions of how many people are living on this world. But there are between 4 and 5 billion people living in this world today. What? No, before 4 and... What? Today?
About 6.
6 billion?
Yeah.
Okay, there are different estimates of how many there are. No, there aren't 10 billion people. What?
There's like 10 billion cell phones.
10 billion Facebook accounts. But everyone has at least a few. You have a few identities. But I guess at this point in time, the world was expanding. And it was not possible for one person to have control over the entire world. And there's one other thing I forgot to mention. Why did Daniel give this advice to Dariush? So other Mepharshim explain it was a technique to keep hold of his Malchus. In other words, if you have 120 governors and authorities who only serve at the will of the king, what happens when there's a new king? It's like today. When there's a new president, the entire staff, it's a clean sweep. There's a new cabinet. Every post, the president, everyone's that. Everyone basically, their term is over, and the president has to decide if they want to keep this person on, and more often than not, every single important post in government is replaced by one of the men, one of the people that is close to the new president. Same thing, these 120 people are only serving because the king wants them to serve. If there will be a new king, let's say the king will die, and the son will take over, or there will be some change in Malchus, all 120 officers are out. It's a clean sweep. And all 120 will be reappointed, there'll be new appointments by the new king. Therefore, the 120 governors don't want the king to be removed from power, because that means they will lose their job. If you have one king, then everyone is planning and plotting how to get rid of him. Right? The moment he takes office, immediately they're on the radio and they're talking, what can we do to get rid, to find some chasar and some mum, to get the king out of his get him off the throne. But if you have 120 people that depend on you, they don't want the king to go. Because if they go, they also lose their job. So this was the advice of Daniel. Daniel said, listen, you're 62 years old. You're no physical condition to rule with an iron fist. You have to have some safeguards. Make the country dependent on you. Right, institute programs, the whole country will be on programs, so no one's going to want to jeopardize the programs. So what are the programs? To have the 120 governors who have their own self-interest that the king remain in power, so that they will not lose their own job. So this was a technique that Daniel invented in order to secure Dariush's hold on his throne. Okay, Pasuk Dalet. Now another point we have to make. Daniel over here gets a third, he's one of the three ministers. This was a fulfillment of the honor that Belshazzar promised Daniel. So it's a very interesting thing. Over here, Belshazzar told him, if you'll interpret for me the hearing on the wall, I'm going to give you a reward. You're going to wear our gum on, you're going to wear the gold chain, and you're going to rule over a third of my malchus. Belshazzar that evening died. He actually tried to give Daniel the gift, but that night he was killed, and the malchus was transferred. And what happens? Shortly thereafter, Daniel becomes the advisor to the new king, Dayavish, and exactly the reward that Belshazzar promised Daniel was given to Daniel. So what do you learn from here? Kavod is something that comes from Hashem. Honor and authority, if it's meant to be, it was meant to be, it was promised to Daniel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to have this gift that was promised to Daniel by Belshazzar. It was meant to be, it was given to him by a different king, a different authority. It's an amazing Hashkocha Pratis, yeah.
But you said that Daniel suggested all this.
Daniel did not necessarily suggest that he should be one of the three.
He suggested on there should be
And then Dayavish, on his own, made him one of the three. So it wasn't a guarantee.
No, I'm not saying it's a guarantee.
Right.
But I suggest
he participated in the process of that there should be three. In Achanami, that's correct. But it is an interesting point to note, and this is discussed, that look what happened over here. Daniel indeed was one of the three ministers, which means that he really ruled a third of the world. He shared the Malchu, he was the kingdom that was on top, and that was divided among the three ministers, and all of the 120 Achashtarpanim reported to these three ministers, these three Sorchin, and indeed Daniel was one of those three. Okay, let's see Pasuk Dalet. Chamudas means he was chamud, he was precious, favored. He was precious, and we'll see. I think that's the general. Does it say that anywhere in the pasuk? Maybe it does later on. I'm not
familiar.
It says in Slichus, but maybe it says in the pasuk actually itself. It says in Daniel itself. In Daniel itself, three times. So it's taken from the pasukim in Daniel. Ish Chamudas. We'll see how much the king Dayavish loved. They all loved him. Everyone loved Daniel. Daniel interpreted into reading for the Nebuchadnezzar twice. He was able to read the handwriting on the wolf of Belshazzar. The queen mother, had the greatest respect for Daniel. And now we'll see very soon that the king, Dayavish Hamadai, had great love for Daniel. Let's see what happens. Pasuk Dal, Adai and then Daniel, Dino, this Daniel, Hava Misnatzach Al Sarchaya, he was successful. Misnatzach means he prevailed. In this context, it means he was very successful. Al Sarchaya Va'achashtar Pinaya. He got along with them. He got along with all the ministers and all of the senators and governors and mayors. He was very popular. His popularity was in the sky. Favorability, job performance, job approval, and you name it, all these nice terms. He scored the top of the top. Al Sorchayovi Achashtar Panaya, he was very successful, prevailed upon the ministers and the governors. Kol Kovel, why? Kol Kovel means because of. Because of Di Ruach Yatira Bey. He had a spirit. And Ruach Yatir means more. Yatir means an abundance. Ruach means a spirit. When Hashem said to when Moshe asked Hashem, appoint a person, Eloide Ish Asher Ruach Bo. Moshe asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to die. We need to appoint a successor. Who should be the successor? You, Hashem, select. And whoever the successor is, should be Ish Asher Ruach Bo. A man of spirit, charisma. So it says that exactly about Daniel. Di Ruach Yatir Bey. He had an abundance of spirit. Umalka Asis, and the Malk, the king Asis, means wanted. The king loved Daniel so much. Asis here means, is there a Mitzudos here? Asis, look at Pasuk Dalit in the Mitzudos Sion. In Machshava, the king wanted, Kamo Avdu Eshtonoisav. their plans have been, their plans, the plans of the enemies, avdu, have been lost, have perished, eshtoynoisav, their plans, their evil plans to cause Bnei Yisrael harm. So it's a very unusual word, it's really a Hebrew word, but it's somehow being used here in the form, in the Aramaic form, the king wanted, lahakomusei al kol malchusa, wanted to appoint Daniel as the top, he wanted to share the malchus, in other words, he should bring him above the level of the three top ministers. That's how much the king loved Daniel. They had 100 started out, there were 120, there were three on top, there was the king. The king wanted to elevate Daniel above the three, to actually be part of the Mishnah Lamech, to serve together with the king itself. Before I should make a parallel between what's happening here by Shane, good morning, welcome. They make a parallel here between Yosef and Daniel, because Yosef also was appointed to be the Mishneh Lemelech. He was elevated from after Yosef was able to interpret the dream for Paro. Yosef was elevated, Moshel Mecholah Shaloh, he ruled as second, as the Mishneh Lemelech, Viceroy. Now, what does it say? There's, okay, I don't remember the exact sukkah, but there's a pasuk there. There's a famous chazal that says that even though Yosef was the Mishneh Lemelech, who Yosef? You know, I don't remember the pasuk exactly. I don't have the Medrash in front of me. The Medrash says that who Yosef? He, you would think, a person like Yosef, who was involved on a daily basis with the government of Egypt, and Egypt was a land that was corrupt. It is called the Ervas Haaretz. The nakedness of the earth, the sins that were committed in Egypt were the worst of the worst. It was a land that denied the existence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Koytzi V'Yechem Yadi, everything came from the Nile. The Pasuk says, Hu Yosef. He was the same Yosef HaTzadik. The same Yosef that studied by his father Yaakov Avinu before he left, before he was sold by his brothers to Mitzrayim, he remained in his righteousness from beginning to end. On the one hand, he was the top minister in Egypt, the Mishneh Lemelech, but he was the same Yosef HaTzadik. It's exactly what it says here, Adayin Pasuk Dalet, Doniel Dino. This Doniel. Why does the Pasuk say this Doniel? To indicate he was the same tzaddik. Just because Daniel here was exiled from Yerushalayim 11 years before the Churban, and now the Churban already has taken place, and most of Klal Yisrael, Miyayish, who knows what's going to be, will there even be a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? It's already over, we're in Gaul, it's already been 70 years since the Nebuchadnezzar came to power, things were not too good, and here Daniel was elevated to serve the top position of government in by Dayavesh, who could rule Kamat the entire world. So you would think he would assimilate, he would cool down, he no longer would have the same Yirah Shemayim. No, Edayin Doniel Dino, the same Doniel that was a tzaddik in Yerushalayim and has gone through all of these events. We have a misnatzach. He had a double life. He was a tzaddik, and he was able to serve with loyalty and with devotion to the king, and prevailed upon all of the governors and the ministers and officials to rule with dignity, honesty, and to do what's proper and upright. Why was he successful? He wanted al kol malchusa. Then this is a pattern of history. Okay, this Ma'is Avosim Labanim. The Jews are very successful. They're immigrants. They come to a new country. They're thrown out of one country, so they go to another country. It takes time to settle down. The immigrants, they get an education. They get good jobs. They become very successful. And they're very good. They're very good with the going. They don't make any trouble. They mind their own business. They do business. They bring incredible baracha into the country. But the goyim get very, very jealous. Jealousy. Everything, jealousy is the cause of all evil. Edayin, Sarchaya, the ministers, Viachashtar Penaya, and the governors, Havo Bo'ayin, They were looking for an ilah, an excuse. Lehashkocha, ledoniel, to remove lehashkocha, means to remove, to make him.
It's the hifar.
To forget about him, right? So it means to the king should forget about him because the king wanted to elevate him to become the Mishnah LeMelech. Lehashkocha leDaniel mitzad malchusa. He should be removed from the malchus. So they were looking to find the blemish. They were looking for an ila. Ila means an ovel, a sin. They're trying to dig up dirt on Daniel.
Alila
stam, a blood libel, a libel. They're looking to find some libel, some liability, some blemish, some dirt on Daniel in order that he should be prevented from serving in its top post by the Melech, to not be allowed to be lifted above the three top ministers. And why? Obviously because they were extremely jealous of his success, of his talents. But they couldn't find anything. The whole ila ushechisa. These are two words which mean really the same thing. Any ila ushechisa, any wrongdoing, any liability or ugly shachas, something that is disgusting. Lo yochlin lehashkocha, they could not find. Why not? Kol kovel, you know why not? Because di nehimanhu, he was an ish neman. A faithful person. It's a beautiful pasuk. A person is neman. You're faithful to your wife, to your friends, to your family. If you're an ish neman, you'll never find in the person a mum, a blemish.
Of integrity.
Person of integrity. Excellent. Di mehemanhu, he was a man of integrity. The whole shalush means a mistake. Not only could they not find anything that was done deliberately, some type of secret, some secret skeletons they find in the closet. They couldn't find even a mistake. He never made any mistakes by accident. Everyone makes mistakes. In Tzadik, Baruch Shayaseh, Toiv L'Yechta, people make mistakes in life. He didn't make any mistakes. Even that they couldn't find. Shalu means a mistake. Ushechisa, again, it repeats again, the word Ushechisa is repeated here a second time here, but it's repeated in context with the word Shalu, which something that was disgusting, something that's not proper, that was done in error, corrupt. They could not find about him. So what then did they do? One more pasuk. Edayin then guvraya ileich amrin. All of these men said, the governors, 120 governors and the three ministers, they said, dilo nehashkach leDaniel dino. Since we cannot find about this Daniel kol ilah, there is one thing we can do. We can take advantage of his only one weakness. What's his one weakness? Well, it's not a weakness. What they viewed as a weakness, his religion. His religion is faith. So they said, one more time, Edayin guvraya yilein armen di log lo ne hashkach, meaning that we cannot find l'daniel, do not this daniel kol yilein, any wrongdoing. Lohein, therefore, hashkach na alayhi, we will find a fault with him, bidos elokei, in his belief, his law. Das means law. When everyone gets to get married, you say, "Harei at mikudesh esli betabazo kidas Moshe v'Yisro." What's das? The law. Das is law. So, bedas means the law of Elokei, of his God, his faith. We will use his faith against him. That's the only thing we can do to bring about his downfall. Okay, we'll stop here. Now it's going to go on to discuss. They devised this elaborate plot, what to do to cause Daniel to stumble before the king. And that way they were able to convince the king to throw him into a den of lions. And he... Pre-Watergate? Okay, so we'll stop.